Back to John's Gospel, chapter 12 today, and we're going to commence reading at the 12th verse, and we're going to go right down to verse 43. I hope you'll follow along as we read the Lord's Word together here in John chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. Fulfilled prophecy, the specific, minute details that are given in the Old Testament, when they are fulfilled in the New, and especially in the life of our Lord Jesus, it confirms that the Bible is indeed the inspired and infallible Word of God. Every word of it, every jot and tittle, is the Scriptures of truth, and God stands behind His Word. Is there any other reason why this book has stood the test of time than that it's a supernatural book? It's a book that will always rise to inspection, investigation, and boy, I tell you, there have been enemies that have scrutinized every detail, and yet the book still stands. And I rejoice to be a preacher of the Bible. I believe in the book. I believe in its promises, and I believe in its prophecies. Today we're going to look at a very specific prophecy, and it is related to the Lord Jesus riding into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey's colt, the young donkey that the Lord entered Jerusalem. And this is a tremendous account of Old Testament scriptures fulfilled in the New. Stay tuned as we go to the message today. Now let's move to seeing this responsibility laid on the people by the entering Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of an ass. Now in Zechariah 9:9, the prophet said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Now, as you think of that Old Testament prophecy given 400-500 years prior to this event, how detailed and how exactly fulfilled to the letter. The Lord fulfilled the prophetic picture, entering Jerusalem on this donkey, a donkey on which had never been sat, and the Lord initiated all this. And you know the account how it was the Lord who said to the disciples, "Go to such a place and you will find a colt with an ass," or an ass with a colt, a foal, "and say to the owner, the Lord hath need of him, bring him to me." And it was the Lord who initiated this fulfillment. And he was conscious of fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy. And he was set out to please his Father in fulfilling this in these last days of his life on earth. And so the Lord himself was pressing the responsibility of all this upon the Jews and all in Jerusalem that he was the Savior and Messiah. The Lord was not hiding. He was not putting the people into a cloud of confusion, but rather he was shining the light upon the whole situation that day. And as the Lord shines the light of the gospel into the world, you have a great responsibility to see who Christ is and to trust in him and serve him. Now, we note that it was not a horse. It was a donkey, because Israelites were to have nothing to do with horses. Ever since their days in Egypt, when they come out of Egypt, they were commanded to not have horses. And any king or anyone who took horses, that was their downfall. That became the downfall of Solomon. And the Israelite was marked by the use of the donkey. And of course, it is the very mark of the Savior coming as a servant, not as a king in his terror. Now, if you look at verse 15, you'll see the word, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt." If he had come on a white horse, you might fear. That's how the Romans would appear. The Roman generals and their armies would come on their steeds of horses. But here is the Lord Jesus. He's coming as the servant of the people, and he's marked by his lowliness. He's one of the people, and he's come to be the Savior of sinners. And the Lord has a fear not for every one of us, because in every heart who knows not God, there is a fear. There's an estrangement, an alienation from God. And so when the Lord comes near, you fear. But the Lord says, fear not. Nor was this donkey adorned with riches. There was no gold trappings. There was no shiny adornment. This was just the average donkey in its mere natural state. And that was the picture of the Lord's submission to be a servant. Now, another thing about the donkey, we're told in another part of the Bible, Luke 19, that this donkey had never been ridden before, never used by man. Now, if you know donkeys, they're not easy to train. They don't cooperate very quickly. They're stubborn. But this donkey was in immediate submission. And the Lord sat upon a donkey never ridden by man, entered into the city of Jerusalem, demonstrating his power to subdue. And of course, that's what he does in the hearts of men too. He subdues men to himself. And once you were wild, worldly, wicked, heedless, but as a Christian, the Lord has subdued your heart and brought you into a life of submission. And of course, the prayer of every Christian is for greater submission. That's our constant battle in the Christian life. I want my home to be in submission to God. I want my own heart to be in submission to the will of God. I am a Bible student. I search this Bible every day because I want to know the will of God for my life. I want to pray, Lord, lead me into the perfect center of your will. Give me a spiritual mind. Give me the mind of Christ. And this is the constant longing of the Christian, that the Lord would truly be the King of our lives, and that we would every day do his own will. And that's something that you need to be praying about. When you read your Bible, you must read it with purpose. You must ask, what is the King calling me to do for him? What do I need to change in my life that I will glorify him more? Now, once I was wild and careless and heedless, but now I profess the name of Jesus. He's my Savior. He is now my Lord and my King. I must put him on. You know that verse in Romans 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Put Christ on in your life. Be in submission to him. And that's the work of his grace within every one of our hearts. The third thing is by accepting the hosannas. these loud public praises in the outdoors and the roadway with the masses of people lined by the sides as the Lord entered up to Jerusalem. Now, the Lord accepted these hosannas because it was proper. It was not idolatry. And that's only true because he is the Lord and he's the king. If he was an ordinary man, if he was a mere prophet or some teacher or some religious leader of a kind, then this would be idolatry. This would be an imposter taking all of this praise to himself, and it would be totally wrong to receive the hosannas. He would have to nick it off. He'd say, look, cut it out. I don't deserve this. But no, he rejoiced and encouraged these hosannas to his own name. Oh, save. He was the Savior. He was acknowledging he came into the world to be the Savior. Now, the Lord also accepted these hosannas because his hour had come to die. Before this, the Lord went into the background. He got offside. There were times he would make him a king after the feeding of the 5,000. The Galileans would have taken and made him a king, but he got away offside. He hid from all of that, but not now. Not now, because this was his hour to die. And the time was over for hiding. The time for his earthly ministry centered in Galilee had concluded. And now he was come to Jerusalem to face all the hypocrisy, all the false religion, and to lay down his life. He was offering up himself. This was Christ coming into the city, offering himself to the people. Now, there's another little point where it says Jesus wept entering the city of Jerusalem. This is most likely on this same day. And when he was going up that Mount of Olives, there's a point at which the whole city of Jerusalem just burst into sight. And it was there that Jesus wept over the city and lamented, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her brood, but ye would not." And the Lord was presenting himself to the people. And of course, he was soon to be crucified. Let's count from Sunday to Thursday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If we get our math right, and it's not easy on this one, this was the day, that Sunday, this Palm Sunday we now call it, when the Jews took the lambs into their homes prior to the Passover. You remember, 4 days prior. And they would take those lambs into their homes, and they would be like pet lambs for those few days. And then finally, its blood would be shed and put on the doorposts as the Passover lamb. Here is the Lord entering into Jerusalem, the Passover lamb. And while there was at first this rejoicing in him, soon the Jerusalemite people would be crying for his blood. That's how our Lord entered in. Now, the Lord allowed and accepted a whole multitude to sing his hosannas. If you read with me verse 17 to 19, you'll see just how many there were. The people, therefore, that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. Now, there must have been a tremendous amount of people that day at Lazarus' resurrection. For this cause, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." They watched the people leave the city. They saw them go out the gates. And this is their coming. The whole world has gone after him. This is now getting out of hand. The multitudes have gone to seek after Jesus. And then strangely, they have the Greeks coming in, and they come and they say, "We would see Jesus." And so the numbers on the roadside that day when the Lord rode on that donkey, the number shouting their hosannas was in their thousands, thousands shouting their hosannas unto the Lord Jesus. And the Lord received them. The Lord received them. And that became a weight of responsibility upon all in the city. Even those Pharisees and scribes in their HQ bunker, seeing how they could plot the death of Christ, all of this spoke against them and brought the greater guilt upon them. And of course, these hosannas pertain to Christ as the Messiah, Savior. Oh, save me. Now, Vine's word studies on the New Testament states that hosanna in the Hebrew means save, we pray. And the word seems to have become an utterance of praise rather than prayer, though originally probably a cry for help. Help, Lord, save me. Now, you can't make the gospel message any plainer than that. It doesn't get any clearer than that. Hosanna, save me. I wonder, would you join in on that very note of crying to the Lord, save me? And there's no Bible word so plain and so right in the gospel message. Save me. Save me from my sins. You have a responsibility today to cry out unto the Lord. A personal responsibility. A great weight of responsibility falls upon you. Have you personally prayed the sinner's prayer? Lord, save me. Save me now. That is the right response. That's the right way to take this as you read and study this account. You are responsible for your own salvation. You are to cry out, save me. And of course, you are called to do this. You're called to cry out unto the Lord. And the Lord leaves you with no excuse, so that on the judgment day, when you see Christ in all his glory, what have you done with Jesus? That is indeed a great weight of responsibility. Think of the glory attributed to the Lord when he descends. But if you do not call on him now, you will bow the knee then. And sinners will either bow the knee in worship or in wretched destruction. Which is it, my friend? Will you today lift up your hosanna to the King? And Christian, will you make Christ the King of your life in every area, in full obedience? Is there anything in this book that you're not willing to obey? Anything you're holding out on, the Lord's speaking to you about it. You've read it in his word, but you've just dismissed it. Today, this word speaks to you and calls you to a full personal submission. Let your whole life be a surrendered life unto the Lord. And I want us to conclude our service with the This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Thank you for joining with us again on the program, and I hope that you have been encouraged. If you have questions, concerns, or perhaps a particular need for prayer, for personal help, I would love to hear from you. Just give me a call at 604-576-1091. That's our church number. Give me a call almost any time, and I will be glad to speak to you one-to-one, to share with you the Bible, the gospel, and to give you a few pointers on how you can be sure that you're saved and that you are ready for glory. I know that these are fearful times for many, times of, well, a certain oppression that seems to be upon our nations. Things are not quite normal, and with all these restrictions and all the upsets of things, it's good to have the Lord. It's good to have the Savior. Now, please remember our missionaries in their burden to reach their people with the gospel and also with practical help. Our mission board of the Free Presbyterian Church in North America has sent out an appeal for help from our churches, for gifts to support particular needs on the mission field. And my mind goes right now to Jamaica, where we have the Reverend David DeCanio. He is with the Free Presbyterian Church Mission there, and he is running a radio broadcast 24/7 that covers Greater Monrovia. We're so thankful for our brother and for his ministry and for all that they're seeking to do for the people there. Thank you for your interest and concern for them, and I hope that you will consider supporting. You can go to our website for all the information and how you can support. May the Lord bless you richly. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.